It's Central Time. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, President Trump is trying to light a fire under congressional Republicans to get them to come to an agreement over the new health care bill. Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch faces another day of confirmation hearings and more. We'll talk to Paul Singer from USA Today about the latest in national politics.
First, a new report is looking at varying levels of voter engagement in different parts of the United States. Wisconsin stands out in the report because the state saw the nation's second highest drop in voter turnout since 2012.
Wisconsin was a battleground state during the election. It's also been front and center in debates over voter ID laws and redistricting.
George Pillsbury joins us now. He's authored the new report, which is called America Goes to the Polls 2016. He's also a senior consultant for the nonprofit organization Vote. George, welcome to Central Time.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
George, can you put the numbers in context for us? How big is the voter turnout drop in Wisconsin?
Well, it was second highest in the nation, percentage-wise, and actually it was the most in terms of total votes lost. And that's that was, you know, a surprise to us. It was only four states really lost votes compared to 2012 in this election.
And Wisconsin is typically a state with high voter turnout. How does this number compare to voter engagement in past elections? Can you give us a little more context?
Well, Wisconsin's always been a high voter turnout state. In fact, it's been number two ranking for the last 4 years for presidential elections. So when it dropped to fifth, that was, we raised a flag, but then we looked at the numbers and sorted it. We saw that Wisconsin was right up there with Mississippi with the largest drop in voter turnout.
So Mississippi, was Mississippi the state with the highest drop, then, you said?
That was number one, and although, again, Wisconsin was number one just in terms of the number of voters lost compared to 2012.
Do you have a sense?
That was just a little bit of a surprise again, because the voting eligible population did increase in Wisconsin, so you should have been higher. And of course, it should have been higher for some other reasons as well.
So, when you say should have been higher, what do you mean by that?
Well, it was a very competitive state. I mean, states, first of all, that are considered battleground states are going to have higher turnout. They're going to get a lot more attention. And number two, you had not only a battleground presidential race, but a big U.S. Senate race. So I think that was kind of a double winner in the competition, and we expected an increase rather than a decrease in turnout.
So you said Wisconsin and Mississippi had the biggest drops between this election and the one 4 years ago. Any sense about why that is?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons you could look at, but one thing that we did notice is they both introduced very strict voter ID laws since 2012. And I think that could have had an impact. Certainly, we also look at other factors, like the fact that there was some, you know, drop off of, let's say, Obama's voters from 2012. That happened in other states as well, though. But I think you have to look for something, something that structurally changed in how Wisconsin held its elections.
And it's my understanding that your report did not look expressly at voter ID laws, although you suspect that could have had something to do with it. But why is that? Why didn't you take that into account?
Well, we're a nonprofit vote. We're a nonpartisan organization. And we, I think voter ID for us is a little bit, unfortunately, is seen as a partisan issue, which is too bad. I think, you know, too many of these issues are seen as partisan when really, at the end of the day, it's really about the voters and having and it shouldn't be about the parties or the candidates. So it's a little bit harder to pull out the effect of voter ID. We know it has a suppressive effect. We don't know how much, and we're not an organization that can judge that. However, it did kind of jump out in the findings that the two biggest losers of turnout were the strict ID states.
And the 2016 election was also notable because both the major party nominees were incredibly unpopular. What did that have to do with the turnout, if anything?
Well, I'm not sure at the end of the day, because, you know, it's interesting that I know that, for example, in Wisconsin, I think that both of the candidates that Wisconsin voters supported in the primaries did not end up getting nominated. But that also was the same case in the other high turnout states. So the other top five states also had that same situation, but they still had high turnout, and they didn't change much from 2012. In fact, in most cases, it went up. So I don't, Yeah, so we go back to now that there's another factor there. There's also the question of said you had competitive Senate race and a presidential race, but if people were not satisfied with the candidates, maybe they're looking for another candidate on the ballot to vote for, like their congressperson. There wasn't a choice this year in Wisconsin in any of your eight congressional races. They're all landslide elections, and they're pretty uncompetitive.
We're talking with George Pillsbury right now, senior consultant for the nonprofit organization Vote and author of the study America Goes to the Polls 2016. And one thing you did, or several things I should say that you looked at, is what policies did encourage voter turnout and participation. What did you find there?
Well, the one that continues to have the biggest impact, and this is when Wisconsin was a leader in a few decades ago, and that's the ability to register or to fix correct your registration when you go to vote. It's called same-day registration. Now, your state's had it since the 1970s, certainly a pioneer in that area, and that's why you're with Minnesota and Maine and New Hampshire is always in the top five, usually. Another big factor is the issue of competition. If you're a battleground state, you're going to get higher turnout. You're going to get more attention. Campaigns devoted 99% of their money and 95% of their campaign appearances to the 14 battleground states. The people in the other 36 states just, elections kind of preordained and there's less turnout. So Wisconsin did have the battleground status and does have same-day registration. Those are the big policies. I think there's some other ones that we're looking at now that we saw in Oregon introduced automatic voter registration. Again, probably not as much of an issue in Wisconsin with the same day, but it's Oregon also. Oregon actually conversely had the opposite, had the highest turnout increased when it introduced, it automatically registers voters now when they go to their Department of Motor Vehicles. So, and that's really helped Oregon, probably as well as some of their mail voting scheme they have out there, along with Washington and Colorado.
Now, the issues of gerrymandering and also redistricting have become especially hot topics after the 2016 elections, and you have bearing here in Wisconsin. What effect do you think that redistricting, for example, may have on voter turnout?
Well, I think it's it definitely has an impact, and as it should. I mean, I think most states still are like Wisconsin. I think the people who are elected are drawing the lines. They get to choose the voters before the voters choose them. So that's a problem, and they're going to end up tending to create safer districts or districts that are better for the incumbents of one party or both parties. So we did see it. With the redistricting controversy, and I think we see it across many states, this year we saw the lowest competition in the congressional races that we've seen in the last at least 30 years. Only 37 out of 435 congressional seats in this country were at all competitive. Three-quarters were won by landslide margins, and so we're not really giving voters much of a choice the way we draw our districts.
And, George, next presidential election in 4 years, anything big you'll be looking for then?
I think, a number of states are moving forward with, I would say, positive reforms that really help people vote. We're going to see more states, seven of them have adopted automatic voter registration, so that's getting more folks registered who might not otherwise register. Because it's happening, automatically when they go renew their driver's license or a state ID. We're seeing over a third of the states now have same-day voter registration. They followed Wisconsin's lead on that one, and that's really starting to raise turnout, which is why, in fact, turnout overall nationally remained high compared to prior presidential years, because the laws are starting to change in a positive direction, which a lot of people don't hear. They hear a lot about the controversial ID and other things, but I think our report highlights a lot of the positive reforms which are happening, and I think will continue to increase turnout. Some of those I mentioned, and I guess I would put some of the new techniques of mail voting, which is called mail voting, but it's really a system in Colorado that they've developed where everybody gets their ballot 2 weeks ahead of time, and they get plenty of time to look at it, review it, figure it out. And they, you know, don't have to mail it back. They can just chop it off, bring it back, and they're much more informed and more likely to vote.
George, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, good. Thank you. Good luck in your future elections.
Thank you so much. That was George Pillsbury, senior consultant for the nonprofit organization Vote. He authored a report called America Goes to the Polls 2016.